5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, this is not first class.
Circus! Afro Circus! Afro Circus! Afro
Welcome to The Clown Car, a parenting podcast where a mom
and a dad
talk about what it's like being the ringleaders in their own circus.
I'm Batman. We're not professionals. The only credentials we have are four kids. So do your research and find out what works for you. Hello, fellow ringleaders. I am your host, Barry Ricks. And with me, I have my beautiful, lovely, talented, and happy birthday-ish wife, Crystal.
Yay! My birthday's tomorrow!
So, we're actually recording this episode a little bit earlier in the week because we have vacation.
But we're not posting it early.
No. So you'll still hear it on Monday. So
now they're confused.
No, you'll hear it on Monday. But we're recording it early in the week. So if it seems like we're lacking in the story area, that is why. Because we haven't had a full week. We've only had a few days.
Yeah.
So. All right.
So I was talking to a friend today.
Okay. Are we doing story of the week?
Well, it's kind of about our other previous shows.
Oh, okay.
I was talking to a friend today and she goes, "You guys talk about peeing all the time."
Everybody does it. It's kind of like everybody poops.
But that wasn't the point. She said she just read that soda, drinking soda actually makes you need to urinate more often than just drinking water.
I've heard that, but
I think you guys drink
soda. I don't think that's true.
I don't know. I think it's pretty true.
I still pee a lot, even with water.
I've tested that theory, and I'm pretty sure soda does do its duty.
The dew does the duty.
Nice. So, sorry. I went straight into the pee stories, but it was just funny.
Sweet.
Sorry that we talk about it all the time, apparently.
We're just not afraid to talk about it.
I know. At least we're not sharing. Well, no, we do share poop stories.
We sure do. We share them all. All bodily functions are welcome on the clown car.
That's parenting. It's not pretty.
That's right.
So, yeah. Oh, and we also got a comment on our Facebook page about free-range parenting. And one of our listeners had a pretty bad run-in with letting her kids be free-range. So I don't have advice. I guess I'm just saying sometimes it happens.
Parenting is a trial and error job. Like, there's no rule. There are no curriculums to follow. It's, hey, let's try this. What? That didn't work. Let's not do that anymore.
Abort. So thank you for the comments and the stories. We know how you feel. It's hard.
It's true.
So, all right.
All right.
Do you have our theme song?
We'll have actual bumper sound bumpers in here soon, but
throw us a beat.
Be like, story of the week. It's the story of the week. Story of the week. It's the story of the week.
Woo! Nice. Who's starting?
I can start. So, had yet another bad morning the other day. And when I refer to bad morning, I refer to one of our children chose to not want to go to school. And he put up a fight. I had to once again drag him into the car and then drag him into school. And then, luckily, I didn't have to drag him into class. I stopped right outside his classroom, tried to give him the opportunity to walk in by himself. But one of the office secretaries was walking by, and she knew our son and knew me. So she's like, "I'll take him into class." I'm like, "Okay, sounds good."
Yeah. And what's funny is I've noticed our 7-year-old keeps saying, "I can't go to school. I have a tummy ache." And I'm
like, suck it up.
Well, for a while,
we all have tummy aches.
For a while, I was like, is he faking this? And then I've had three other friends just recently say their kid keeps saying that their child has a stomach ache before school starts. I'm like, how do they learn this in first grade?
I know, right?
They just teach each other.
It's a natural thing.
They're like, go with the tummy ache. It works like a charm.
That's right. And then lick your palms so they feel clammy.
I've never heard that.
It's from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh. I don't like that movie.
Lick your palms so you feel clammy.
I'm sorry. So I just lost some street cred.
You're faking being sick.
Okay. Yeah, so rough morning.
Yeah, so.
Good times.
Tell us about your rough mornings. We'd like to hear them.
Speaking of rough mornings, our three-year-old woke up at 6 o'clock and climbed in bed with us.
And that's early for us, people.
I know, we're sad. She wriggled into bed and she's like, can I go outside and play in the front yard? And it's still dark outside.
Like, no. No, you can't.
I know. And so I don't think she realized. But in my grumpy waking up voice, I was like, no.
Kids don't have a concept of time.
I know. And so, but then she fell back asleep. But then our 7-year-old got up and climbed in bed with us. So I was a big kid sandwich.
Oh, it was awful.
I was the sardines in the kid bread.
I
hate that.
I am anti children sleeping in the bed with you.
I'm glad you finished that.
I am very against it.
Well, see, part of me wants to think, oh, in a few years they're not going to want to snuggle like this. I should embrace
good.
It. But then I wake up and my back is like, you idiot. Why did you do this again?
Yeah, so, no, I'm like, if you want to sleep in here, go get a blanket, lay on the floor.
Yeah. So, that's always fun.
Yeah.
Speaking of fun, I was baking the other day, and I'm not necessarily one of those parents that likes to have my kids help in the kitchen.
Yeah. I've realized I'm not that kind of person either.
Like, I'd like to be. Sometimes I'll let him in, and it's fun to let him stir.
I'm the kind of person that's like, I want to do this my way.
I know.
It's quicker.
I know. And
we'll have a bonding moment over something else.
We'll have a bonding moment as we eat these.
That's
together.
Right. As we gorge on the goodness.
So I was making rolls, and there's this noise when I just... Oh, my body just goes, oh, and it's the sound of the chair scraping on the tile. Yes. Yeah, they're dragging the chair over to come help. So the minute I hear that sound, I'm just like, no. So, but like I said, sometimes it's okay, but most of the time I forgot that I didn't start dinner. So I'm like, just get out of my way. I've got to hurry and throw this in the oven. But this time, I was trying to make rolls for some friends, and they wanted to help. And so, I just kept saying, no, please. Like, desperate. Please, just let me do this alone. And then, so, our 5-year-old was like, can we pretend to cook? And I was like, yes, please. So, I let him get out all of our baking stuff and bowls and stuff, and they just put them all over the table.
That's why the
and
table is all dirty.
Wait, usually they pretend, but this time they're like, can we use some of that stuff? Because we have a huge bucket of flour. And I was like, I was just so stressed out because I was taking some meals into some friends. So I was like, fine, just take the flour. So I gave them a fourth cup of flour. But then by the end, their fake baking had, they took the bread crust off of their sandwiches, pretzels from their lunch, some instant rice, and salt and pepper, flour, sugar, who knows what else. But they took like 3 of my clean bowls and pretend baked in those. And they used all of the spoons and the stirry things in the drawer. So I got to cook alone, but I had to wash those dishes alone.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that was a win. All but right. Actually, it was kind of adorable. So I'll take it.
Okay.
I guess that was mom win.
Sounds good. So, speaking of older children, our older children are starting to teach our younger children some interesting things. So, our older kids have taught our almost 2-year-old to put crayons up his nose. But not like shove it up there and he gets some stuck up there, but... He, like, now he'll, like, put a crayon in his nose and he'll just look at us and smile.
It's so funny.
It's extremely adorable, but it's just like, good job, guys. Way to teach your little brother to stick crayons up his nose.
It's another one of those moments where we're like laughing, but still saying, don't do that.
Yeah, it's, our credibility goes out the window once we start laughing at the situation.
Now, here's a weird one, is our five-year-old ran into the room and was like, Grayson is putting salt in the baby's hair. So I run out there, and Grayson was using the salt shaker and showing the baby how to put it in his hair. And now, because we usually keep the salt and the pepper on the table, but now our one-year-old thinks it's hilarious to put salt in his hair. So that's fun. I don't even know where
Thank you where for that. Yeah.
Well, I don't know where that thought came from, but...
It's called being the oldest and be like, this will be funny.
Which reminds me, that's something I forgot to put in. Something that I've had to learn as a parent is that you think you're born with common sense, but that's not true.
No.
Like your kids, most of the times I get frustrated at my kids. I'm like, you should have known better. But I think about it, I'm like, common sense is not really like...
See, they don't know. Sense. They it's don't not, know better. They're
it's not
kids.
Inborn sense. And
I think that's that mentality of parents treating their kids like adults.
Yeah, when that's true.
When they're not. They don't
we
know.
We always think our kids are older than they are.
And we're just like, why did you do that? Don't you know any better? No, you don't. Oh, okay. Well, now it makes sense.
Like the other day I was over visiting a friend and her daughter, who's 8, was trying to sneak out of the house with her hands behind her back because all of our kids were in the backyard. And the mom was like, what do you have behind your back? And she kept saying, nothing. And then finally, she accidentally dropped a can of root beer. And her mom's like, did you have a drink for everyone? Like, are you going to offer that to everyone? And she's like, no, I already shook it up. And both of us are like, what? And she's like, we're going to open it.
Nice.
And her mom's like, you can't do that. And she's getting all frustrated. That's what hit me. Like, kids just don't think about that. They don't think like, hey, this is going to make my mom so mad.
No, it was going to be fun. Soda spraying everywhere, stickiness, all the good stuff.
And that's something that relates to the free range parenting is sometimes we think our kids have more common sense.
That we talked about last week.
Yes. Yes, thank you.
We talked about free-range parenting last week.
Like, you send your kids outside, and common sense says that they aren't going to walk away down the street, or...
They're not going to take candy from a stranger in a weird vehicle.
Yeah, and that's what I liked about last week was the point is that you train your kids, and then let them try
then
it out.
Then let them go.
Because when we were
They need to prove themselves first.
When we were living in another town... We had this, like, 6-foot chain link fence. Grayson was 2, and I thought, he is totally okay to go out in the backyard that's fenced in, and I just sent him out there, and then I went to go look for him, and he was gone, and I flipped out, because it was like, there's an alleyway behind our fence, and it's not locked. You could just pop the latch and walk in. I was like, someone drove by and stole him, you know, automatically worst-case scenario thoughts. And so I'm screaming his name, and then all of a sudden, my neighbor, who I don't even know very well, comes out of her house.
Because we were new to the neighborhood.
Yeah, but she comes out of her house, she's kind of an older lady, and she was like, here he is! And it turns out that he had scaled the 6-foot fence. He might have been a little older, like 3.
And it was only like 4 feet tall.
It was like 6 feet. It was like 10 feet tall. Anyway, so he scaled the fence. Walked right into her backyard, back door, into her house, and then hid. And the lady said she heard someone walk in, and she was like, Grayson? And all she could hear was a child giggling in nowhere, which is always scary. Like That's in a scary movie.
Scary movie.
The giggling is when you die.
That's right. Be like, I'm dead now.
Yeah, so she came out. But in my head, I was thinking, he knows to stay in the yard.
Yeah.
Like, you just know that. It's common sense. But so she brings him out, and she'd given him a cookie. And I was like, stop giving him cookies. Now he's... So he did it a couple more times. And every time she'd give him a cookie, I was like, thanks for that. Now he's like Pavlov's dog. Knows if he goes there, he's going to get a cookie. But my point is...
What is your point, honey?
Common sense.
I'm just joking.
It's not as common as you think in that age of time.
Common sense is not common. It's not common in adults either, so.
That's true.
So, but yeah, do you have any other stories of the week?
Always.
Well, do we go for it, or do you want to go right in our topic?
Let's see. Something that made me laugh was our 18-month-old. I always call him 1-year-old, but he's older.
Yeah.
He's almost 2.
That's why I said almost 2.
But I was sitting on the floor with him. For once, it was just me and him in the house. And we were putting coins in the plastic piggy bank, like the little Fisher-Price pig. And all of a sudden, he just stops and looks at the coins and starts shooting me with them. Like, pew, 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 just this round disc. And it just makes me laugh that, like, kids might not have common sense, but sometimes those, like, weird things, I feel like they're born with that kind of personality.
Like, he's all boy.
He's all boy. It just made me laugh so hard.
Like, the TV will be on, or like music will be on, and he'll like start doing karate moves and stuff.
He was like throwing punches.
I'm like, where'd you even get that from?
I know. It's not like we're watching anything violent. I mean, we watched Inspector Gadget, and that's about as vicious and violent as we get with those age kids. It just made me laugh that. It just made me realize, like, he really was born with this special personality.
Yeah, he's all boy. We thought he was going to be the gentle, calm one, but we've realized that he's starting to get a very active personality.
Yeah, and then my last story that I'll share is that I was getting super frustrated. We have an incredibly picky eater in the middle.
Ugh, yes.
And I made homemade macaroni and cheese, and it looked delicious. It smelled good. And while I'm making it, because my daughter had been asking for mac and cheese. I want mac and cheese.
She loves Kraft.
Yeah.
Macaroni and cheese.
Not any other kind. Like, the generic kind, she won't eat it. But, so, I made the homemade macaroni and cheese, and she refused to taste it. And then, so, finally, the next day, I was going to make sandwiches, and she's like, I want mac and cheese. So I was nice, and I made the macaroni and cheese, sat down.
Kraft macaroni and cheese.
Kraft mac and cheese. And she ate, took one bite, and she's like, this tastes weird. And, like, pushed it forward. It's like 3 days of begging for it, and she thought it was gross, and I was so mad. All I can think
is, like, you will eat your mac and cheese.
All I can think is that I eyeballed the milk. So maybe I didn't put enough in, or not enough, or too much.
I don't think that's true, because I barely put any milk in.
Yeah, so maybe that's the problem, is I didn't do it the daddy way.
That's right. You don't make mac and cheese like daddy does.
I was like, you little turd will eat my macaroni! So, frustrating. It's one of those, it's just never easy.
It's the never-ending story.
Parenting, just...
Nice. Well, going into our topic of the week.
Has nothing to do with macaroni and cheese.
Has nothing to do with macaroni and cheese. So I was...
It could.
I was failing with kind of like a...
Segue.
And nothing. I got nothing. So it's just like, topic of the week. So Crystal was talking to one of our listeners.
The friend that said we pee too much.
Yeah. So they talked about this subject that we're going to talk about, and the subject is how...
Is it okay?
Is it okay? I was trying to find the wording.
Is it okay to discipline other people's kids?
Yes.
I'm saying
yes, that's the topic.
Yeah, most of the argument is in front of them, like in a playgroup.
Yeah, like...
Is it appropriate?
If the other parent is there... Is it appropriate to discipline their child in front of them?
Yeah.
So, and we looked up articles. We found a for article, an against article, and an in-betweener article.
Yeah.
So we wanted to give the viewpoints both sides of the story.
Okay, so first off, what's your viewpoint?
My viewpoint is okay.
You're always criticizing other people's kids.
I think there's a difference between disciplining someone's kids and correcting someone's kid.
Okay.
So I'm not going to, like, go over there and, like, spank them or, like, put him in timeout or...
better not spank him.
No, I'm saying, like, I'm not going to do those disciplinary acts. Mm-hmm. But if I feel that the child is misbehaving, especially if they are being mean and rude to my kids, and the other parent is just ignoring the situation, or maybe they're just oblivious of what's going on, I don't know, I have no problem with correcting the situation. Mm-hmm. Saying like, hey, don't do that, or hey, stop hitting. But I don't think it's like you go over there and you're like, get up in the child's face or something. Like, are you touching my child? And then pulling them over, to their parent and being like, your child is awful and you're an awful parent. That's rude, in my opinion. But I don't think it's inappropriate to tell the kid, if the kid, took a toy away from your kid and was being mean about it, I would say, hey, give that back. Or, or do the evil parent glare and be like, you. And they'd be like, give it back.
Just give him the glare.
Give him the glare. So,
okay, so my thing is, because I go to a lot more playgroups than you do.
Yeah, it's like you're other people stay-at-home play. Mom or something.
I'm one of those people that has to make everybody happy. And so I don't want to ever hurt anyone's feelings or ruffle any feathers.
Pleaser.
So I
you're
do that.
A pleaser. Oh,
excuse me. Don't criticize me on. I just want to call it TV. What is this? On the internet? I don't even know where to
On our show.
On the show. No. I'm not one of the. I'm not super people pleaser, but I don't like to ruffle feathers. I'm totally non-confrontational. And so I'm one of those people that I see something that needs to be said and I'm not going to be like hey, kid. But I just do that fake voice. Now. So stop.
So you're doing the girl way of handling a situation.
Yes.
Did you notice how it's interesting that our children are not playing well together right now?
Well, I wouldn't even say that because that's still confrontational. No, I hate that girl thing. I hate that thing.
Just address the situation, people. Just be like, your child is hitting my child.
No,
do something about
it. I won't say it to them. I don't go to the parent. I just say, if I see a kid, I'll be like, okay, let's stop hitting. That's not nice. But inside, I'm like, get your hands off my kid. I'm going to kill you.
Whoa.
Not really. Okay, whoa. Maybe not kill. How about get your hands off my kid or I'm going to kick you.
There you go. We'll go with kicking.
Okay. Not that I ever would. Just saying. But, I mean, my outer voice does not match my inner thoughts. That's all I mean.
Yeah.
So anyway. So in the defense we got off of a website, which sounds totally legit, it's called Pop Sugar.
Pop Sugar. .com.
Well, it's an opinion article, but all the moms on that said, heck no, it is not okay.
It's not okay.
For you to say anything to my kid. No one has any right to say anything to your child unless you are sitting there not caring what your child is doing and if her child is in extreme danger.
So, but that's kind of interesting because it's kind of contradicting what they're saying. They're saying, it's not appropriate to say anything unless I'm not doing anything. And that's when I usually say something. I'm not going to, correct the situation of a child if I hear the other parent saying, hey, don't do that. If they're already doing something, I'm not going to add to that. But if I see the parents doing nothing...
That's what she's saying.
I know, and that's why I'm saying... But this whole article is
how it's not okay.
How it's not okay.
Okay,
but then they're saying, except in this situation. And I'm like, of course, except in that situation.
And I like how it's only if your child's in extreme danger.
Extreme danger. So if your child's going to die, then you can
just
say something.
In regular danger,
that's
don't
right.
do anything.
That's right. Regular danger, that's our middle name. So it's okay to be in regular danger.
But extreme danger.
But extreme danger.
I'm like, what does that mean? Child's at knife point?
You're like, give me your lunch money.
If he's just strangling, that's just danger. But if it's a knife.
That's right.
Which, I felt once we were at Burger King, and I can say this because they're complete strangers. I doubt they're listening. But we hear this thing going on in the background, and we turn around, and this boy has this sweet little blonde-haired child in, like, this death grip, and he's literally pulling chunks of hair off of her head.
Wasn't this the same boy that was also slamming the kid's head into the ground?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Where's the parent on that
I
one?
I know. Well, here's the thing, is the parents just dumped him in the play place.
That's true. They put him in the play place.
They're eating out the thing.
And they ate out in the regular area, so they weren't even in the same room.
And then so I think in that...
This is not a daycare, people.
I would call that extreme danger. I mean, they pulled out, like, the...
Any bodily harm should be corrected.
Yeah, and I think if I would have seen it earlier, because why we turned around was all of a sudden this mom comes booking it into the thing, and she just grabs her kid, the one that was causing the problems, and she just starts, like, whopping him on the booty. And I think if I would have seen it, like, him doing that, I don't even think I would have been like, no, no, you stop. I would have been like, dude, hands off, psycho.
I would have used the dad voice.
Oh, yeah, I know. And then but your dad voice, like, kills the happiness.
It should in that situation.
We would, like, have nothing to talk about after you left. Because everyone would be like, whoa, that was weird.
My dad voice is a very stern and mean dad voice.
Not that it comes out very often.
It doesn't come out very often, but when it does, you don't want...
So you've got these people...
You don't want to see me angry.
Like, here's the other quote. No one but you should punish your child. Period.
Not even the law.
See, and that's the thing. Like, I think... Well, and I say this, but I don't like hearing my kids be criticized or, like,
true,
getting called out.
And I'll agree with that. I don't like parents correcting or disciplining my kids, but that's because I may sound pompous when I'm saying this, but that's because I know I'm keeping on top of it already.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sitting there and just letting things happen. I'm correcting poor or bad behavior.
But sometimes
when it's happening.
Like, for me, I might just not see my kid, like, taking someone else's toy, or so if they say, like, about my kid, don't do that, then I feel maybe a little threatened or embarrassed. But the point that I'm trying to make is that I don't want my kids to think the only one they are responsible to is me and you. I want them to know that any adult within reason, not weird strangers,
well, and it's interesting, like, I don't think I would be upset if someone said something to our kids, if it was warranted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if our child hit someone else and they're like, hey, don't hit my kid. And I'd be like, I would be more upset at my kid than the parent or the other kid. I'd be like, yeah, don't hit them. I think we live in an age, obviously, of entitlement, but of other things where people... We're all the victims. We live in a very victim society. So even if my child was, let's say, for example, my child was the one doing the hitting and someone else corrected my child, I would lash out at that parent and the other child and defend my child, saying, well, your child shouldn't have been in his space or something like that. So you're totally making yourself and your child the victim, even though your child was the instigator of the situation.
That does happen a lot.
So that happens a ton. And that happens in the school system too, but that's a totally different story. But it's an interesting situation.
Yeah.
So let's continue on.
So the next one is, this is my favorite viewpoint. This was from PsychCentral.com.
Psych Central.
And the author said that in small groups, like playgroups or playgroups, parents are going to most likely observe arguing, taunting, teasing, little bickering. And he said, although this type of behavior isn't nice, parents shouldn't be concerned or try to intervene unless it becomes dangerous. Not extremely dangerous.
Not
just
extreme
dangerous.
Just dangerous.
In fact, certain types, this is what I love, certain types of fighting between young children serve a very useful purpose, for it teaches them ways of handling disagreements and power struggles with peers.
So do you think if say when you're a child, if you were handled those situations more, you'd be less like unconfrontational, because you hate confrontation. So you think if you were put in those situations and you handled the situation yourself, you would be okay with a little bit of confrontation?
So are you blaming my mother?
No.
That's what I'm getting at. I am
bringing up theoretical question.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just one of those types of people.
Okay. I'm just saying.
But, I mean, I guess my philosophy
It's good because when you let your children handle those situations by themselves, it also prepares them for when they're older and they're working and they have situations at work where they have a conflict at work or marriage or any other relationship. You need to be able to handle those types of situations. And if you're pampered and shielded all the time and your parents handle everything, then you're doing your children a disservice, in my opinion.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Sorry.
Long pause.
Sorry, I was thinking of another story that got related. Yes.
Oh, so you weren't even listening to me.
I heard about half of that.
You were just totally like, oh, I wonder what this is going to mean. You were thinking of your response rather than listening to the words that were coming out of my mouth.
Yeah, and you never do that.
Never.
Oh, I just threw it back in your face.
I'm sorry, what?
Hardy har.
All right. I apologize. Anyway, let's continue on.
If it makes you feel better, I was thinking about your family.
Oh, my family. Okay.
Just kidding. Well, actually, I'm not kidding, but now that I said it's your side of the family, I can't share the story.
Considering some of my family actually listened to the show.
But I don't think it's this one. But anyway, that gives away more of who it could be. So, here is some...
people that are for disciplining...
Yeah, well, they're just giving...
scenarios.
Yeah. So, in this...
situations.
Yeah.
Stories.
Ooh. I have to think of a word. You already said scenario.
Mm-hmm.
But I got nothing.
So the playground bully scenario.
We've all had them.
So here's what this article was saying. It says, your three-year-old is drawing with sidewalk chalk, and 2 5-year-old boys ask to borrow some. You give them a few pieces, but then they return asking for more. Your son says no, but they pull the chalk away from him. Now, I like this article because it breaks it into two different thought processes, yeah, where it says, this is what you're tempted to do. You're tempted to say, hey, stop that. You kids should know better, but you're not supposed to lash out because you'll just only scare the kids and put the parents on the defensive if you lash out other children.
And as you can see from that whole first article we talked about, there are a lot of moms that will get on the defensive.
Oh, yeah. So what you should do is your first step is to simply make your presence known. Often that is enough to stop aggressive behavior. So kind of like I was saying, give them the dad glare.
Be like, stinker.
Be like, what are you doing? And if it isn't, address the boys calmly but sternly, saying, you know, don't grab things. It could possibly hurt, or, you know, it's just... So you approach the situation more calmly. Kind of like take a few seconds to take a deep breath before you like jump down a little kid's throat, so to speak.
Well, it's like this one time I was at the park and it was either Lacey or Jackson, but they were at the bottom of the slide just sitting there. Mm. And this kid was at the top and he was like 4 and he wanted to go down the slide. And so instead of waiting for our kid to get off, he just goes down with his legs bared up, like ready to... you could tell that this was planned. And when he got to the bottom, he just kicked as hard as he could and knocked Lacey off the slide into the bark. And she just started crying. Like, it was not gentle. And the first thing I wanted to do was just be like, what are you thinking? Stupid.
Yeah.
I was so mad.
Go over and smack him.
It's always hard when it's your own kids.
Yeah.
And then I did, I like looked around saying, hey mom, why aren't you going to come deal with this? And I couldn't even find her. And then so finally I did what you do. I just gave him this glare like, I saw that.
Yeah.
And then he just looked at me with this like, and ran off face. So, well, he didn't have a runoff face, but a scared face, and then ran off.
He had a runoff face.
I'm sure he had one of those too. So, I don't know. It's hard. My thing is, just watch your kids. Just speak up. But that's the nice side of
it. Get off your phones.
Yeah, right. Well, I can't say that because when we go to the park, I have a book generally. So
get off your books.
Okay, here's the other thing. Speaking of playgrounds, here's the conundrum that I have. My kids will not wear shoes. I've talked about that before. They hate shoes. And every time we go to the park.
Which is funny because
you love shoes.
I love shoes.
I hate shoes too.
Like, I will always wear them if I can.
Ugh, I know. It's weird. You like wake up and put your shoes on. That's a quirk that I had to get used to.
My feet are protected. And I'm ready to run at any moment.
And my feet can breathe and they're comfortable. Well, you're probably comfortable too. It's just weird. I'm just saying.
Yeah, whatever.
Anyway, back to the story on hand here.
Tangent man.
Is that so my kids take off their shoes. This is a battle that I've stopped fighting because my kids, they have like hobbit feet. They don't get hurt on the bark.
Kids don't. Like, I remember walking around without shoes all the time as a kid. But now, like, if I just take the trash out, like, and I step on something, I'm like, ah!
I know. Our kids' feet are, they really are. They're durable. They're crazy. And so, that's just a battle I've stopped fighting. Generally, like, our kids have never cut their feet or anything at the park.
Anyway.
But I get so many moms that come up to me and they're like, oh, your daughter took her shoes off. And I'm like, yeah, I know. But then
I am aware. Thank you.
So you get all those parents that are doing that thing that you mentioned earlier, the girl thing as you call it.
Be like, oh, your child took the shoes off. When you're really saying, hey, you should tell your kids to put their shoes back on.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not really, it doesn't have anything to do with discipline, but what's funny is that then their kids will start taking off their shoes. And so those moms are like, we don't take our shoes off at the park.
Viva la revolution!
I know. And so I always feel bad because my parenting choice affects the whole playground. And so now
we are born leaders, honey.
Right. We're trendsetters. So that's, I don't know. That's a struggle I have with other parents. Speaking of playgrounds, that's where that tangent came from.
All right.
I just want to know, what are your thoughts?
About what?
Like, should I care that other parents are bothered by that?
No.
And just stick to what's appropriate
Are you hurting anyone?
I could be. Maybe their feet aren't as durable as ours are.
Well, then they can tell their kids to keep their shoes on, and we can let our kids take their shoes off.
You're such a considerate, sympathetic person.
Or I'm just a practical person.
This episode, he sounds so angry.
I hate the world.
Children, I'll discipline them all.
You will all work for me and I will rule the world. Anyway.
Okay, so the last one is about disciplining when the parents aren't there.
When you're watching someone's kids or you're babysitting someone else's other kids. So, yeah. The play date is out of control. Kids are spilling drinks, throwing toys, and fighting. Finally, one of the kids leads your son up the outside of the stair railing, and you yell at them to get down now. And when they don't, you send them to separate rooms.
Thank you, movie trailer.
I know, that's what I was going for it. So it's saying, was that an overreaction?
Probably.
But what's the damage control strategy?
Social worker Daniel Buccino says, my advice is the same as it is for wayward politicians. Disclose all and do it early.
So basically, disclosing to the parents of the child saying, hey, just want to let you know I kind of got upset with both of our kids, and I sent them both into timeout, and I kind of maybe exploded a little bit or something like that. So put it all the cards out on the table, so to speak.
Yeah. Fess up, and chances are you'll get sympathy on the other end of the line. Keep quiet, and you risk having Kyle complain about Joey's mean old mom when he gets home.
It's true. I've recognized this and noticed this, and so have you, I imagine, is when you just straight up say, hey, your kid did this. Most parents, especially if you're watching their kids, you're generally probably, you know them and you're friends with them. They're probably like, oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, he does that all the time. Or, oh, I'm sorry to put you in that situation. Most times they're, in my opinion, in my experience, yeah. They're very understanding. And then you're just like, no, it's not a big deal. I just wanted to let you know that, he had a timeout.
Okay, so this one reminded me of that time when I watched someone else's kids and I walk into the room and the child has a bottle of Hershey chocolate syrup and is dumping it out on our carpet in this huge line across our carpet. It's still stained. I couldn't get it all out. And I lost it a little bit because I've never seen anything like that before. I was just like, what are you doing? And I just snatched it out of the child's hands. And I was just like cleaning it up. And I just kept saying, like, this was naughty. This is naughty. We don't do this. And because I didn't want to be like, I was just trying to think of the least mean thing I could say. So I just kept saying, this is naughty. Oh, but I was boiling.
You will rue the day.
No. And then so, like, this says, disclose it. Like, right away. And so I was just waiting when the parent came to get their child. I had it all mapped out in my head that when she asked, how did it go? I was going to be like, well, your kid spilled Hershey chocolate sauce all over my carpet.
See, but she never asked that.
She never asked.
So you never said it. And in my opinion, that should have been like the first thing. Be like, oh, by the way, you're caught. Your kid totally ruined my carpet.
And I never want to watch him again. So, no, I know. But then, I'm saying.
I just want to let people know, I'm not a mean person. I am actually a very lovable, kind person. But I'm also a very forward person. And I will just tell you how it is if I feel it is appropriate. I just want to put that out there because I'm sounding like a total mean person in this episode. And I'm not a mean person.
Yeah. So, but like Barry said, she never asked. Don't you always ask? That's like a rule. Like, how were they? And so I never, like, how do you bring that up?
Or maybe the person didn't want to ask because they were scared that something bad did happen.
No, I think they're just focused on something else. And so I have this speech. And then I realized they're leaving the house, and I was like, wait, that's not funny. You'd be like,
chocolate,
oh, by the way,
chocolate.
And so they left, and for a week after, I was just waiting for that mom to call me and be like, I heard you yelled at my kids, just like it made my stomach all twisted in knots. I don't think I'll ever end up telling this person, but so I guess I'm all for disclosing it all.
Yeah. So after all of these things we talked about, the yesers, the knowers, and the just let it goers. So are you for or against
disciplining? Oh, me?
Yeah,
I thought we answered this at the very beginning.
I know, but after we discussed everything, what are your opinions on it now?
In a dream world, I say we're all looking out for everyone's kids.
That's right. It takes a village, people.
It does.
It takes a village.
But so in this dream world, we just wouldn't get offended, and it would all be good, but we'd all be calm. I'm not answering the question. I'm just saying how it should be.
Uh-huh. But so you're trying to avoid confrontation.
I think it's okay to a point. I would much rather someone come to me and just say, would you mind? Your kid's kind of walloping on my kid. We just say something. I think that'd be better than hearing them be like, get your hands off my kid. I think that would be... That'd make me feel like a failure. So if they came to me, I'd still feel like a failure, but I don't know. That's a hard one. This is a hard one.
I am for correcting.
I know.
The situation.
I just want everyone to be happy.
In my perfect little world, everyone obeys.
Right?
Nice. So Anyways, what are your thoughts? Are you for or against, or kind of somewhere in the middle, for disciplining other people's children when they're there or when they're not there? So let us know on Facebook. We'd love to have a conversation. We had some great comments about our last episode about free-range parenting. Let's keep that going, people. And let's give our listeners a homework assignment.
Okay.
Homework assignment. By the time you listen to the next episode after this one, your homework assignment is to tell one person about the clown car and tell them why you like to listen, because...
Tell them how amazing
well,
they are.
Well, I mean, your friends or family members or associates will probably, and especially your friends, probably enjoy the same things you do. So let's... That's your homework. And I will follow up. And I will...
Hunt you down and gut you like a fish.
Anyway, so do your homework. And leave comments. And... Thank you for listening to The Clown Car. Parenting is hard, and we believe you should get a gold star just for trying.
Just remember, our way is not the only way, so find what works for you. You're doing a good job.
You can follow us and share your thoughts on Facebook and Twitter at The Clown Car, and email us at theclowncarshow@gmail.com. Make sure you subscribe.
Subscribe.
Rate.
Review
our show on iTunes, and until next time... Enjoy your circus. I'm Batman. You've been listening to a Closet Geek Studios production. For all information about Closet Geek Studios, visit theclosetgeek.net for all your geeky needs, or follow us on Twitter and Facebook.